Hello, everyone. I am Mal Barr, and this is the debut episode of TFS Spotlight, where we discuss anything and everything film-related. Before we begin, I just want to explain what exactly TFS Spotlight is. Each episode will be centered around a topic that people either like to discuss or debate, and we will do just that and try to provide you with some insight into these topics. So joining me today is fellow film stage writer Hash Aguirre.
Hey, I'm Hash.
And in today's episode, we will be discussing a topic that is widely accepted within the film community as one of the biggest problems with movies in the home market today, cropping. And Hash, I want to direct this to you for a second before we explain what exactly cropping is, because you have a huge problem with this, right?
It is probably one of the biggest problems I have with the home market. No, it is the biggest problem I have with the home market.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, haven't figured out what we're talking about, you were talking about how if you've ever seen a film on television, more so back in the 90s than it is today, if it was just shot in a widescreen format, which pretty much every movie is today, a technician will always go in and crop it to a 4x3 to make it better for everyone in terms of pleasing it to the eye for the people who don't understand how film works. And they'll do this in various ways. They'll either put a 4x3 in the center of a 16x9 image and just leave it there. Sometimes they'll use a virtual camera movement, which we'll get into a little later. But we want to, first of all, we want to start with the history of why they started doing this. And it all started back in the 50s when TV started gaining a lot of steam and people were suddenly able to afford 2 or 3 televisions in their homes at any given time. And movie companies knew they had to compete with people just staying home watching television versus going to the theater. So one thing they did was make their screens actually wider, and thus creating the 16x9 ratio. The problem is when film companies start selling the rights to television, they ran into a snag in terms of actually broadcasting the film. And so where, Hash, I want you to explain this, because there were actually FCC regulations involved.
Yeah, a lot of directors wanted to keep the original aspect ratio shot on home videos so that whenever anybody saw it, they're really proud of the work that they did or what they shot, it would be there. Nothing would be tampered with. The problem is that I think this was pretty much only in the U.S. that technical regulations didn't allow portions of the screen to be left black, such as in the letterboxing, the black bars on top and bottom. One of the ways that some directors got away with this was by, instead of making them black, making the areas gray, which still is a bit of a distraction when you're trying to watch the movie, because when black is just an empty space, you don't really pay attention to it at all. However, with gray, it is a bit, it catches your attention more than it is black. However, it is something that they had to do in order to keep their presentation the way it is. Most famously, Woody Allen did this for his movie Manhattan, which the FCC tried to stop from being kept in this anamorphic widescreen ratio.
And the reason we're bringing this up is because about 2 or 3 months ago, and you can find the article we wrote about it on the film stage. So Steven Soderbergh's my hero right now.
Yeah, he's going to be brought up a whole lot in this podcast.
Because Steven Soderbergh directly attacked HBO and AMC in the Directors Guild of America quarterly newsletter, blaming them particularly for the fact that cropping still exists on television. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a problem with HBO ever since I saw Die Hard being broadcast on there. Because there was, do you remember in Die Hard the shot in the airport when McClane first meets the driver?
Yeah.
Okay. In that shot, McTiernan framed it. So Willis was on one side, one extreme side of the frame, and the driver, I forget his name, was on the other side of the frame. Mm-hmm. So when HBO could not crop that into a respectable 4x3, they just cut the movie to the original ratio during the 4x3 broadcast, and then cut back to 4x3, which just pissed me off so much.
That's even worse.
I know, right?
Because that's just so much of a visual distraction. And that's terrible.
And I saw it done when I saw Showtime broadcast Michael Bay's Armageddon once. And mm-hmm. the opening scene, that whole beautiful opening shot of Armageddon where your Charlton Heston's mm-hmm. voice come on and you see an asteroid crash into Earth and you see all that, and that shot and they display that in the anamorphic.
Well, if you notice, they do that with almost every movie, is the opening credits are done in widescreen, because with the credits, those are letters. You can't cut any part of those out or else you don't get the full name or whatever.
Right. Which and I find that funny because when you're watching a movie and you have movies like maybe the Bourne Identity, mm-hmm. or pretty much a lot of spy movies do this, where they put the location of where you are in the bottom left corner or the bottom right corner, it's cut out. Or it gets cropped off because of this technician going in and ruining it.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt a lot. And the problem is no one seems to care. And this is where we want to go into next is we get into the whole market in terms of VHS. Because VHS was primarily put out in 4x3s and no one was giving a damn.
I think at that point, no one was really exposed enough to really realize what was going on. Because honestly, when you're sitting in a theater and you're looking at the screen in front of you, you don't really notice the widescreen ratio you're at because there's nothing else around it, other than the audience, of course. There's nothing around it to really give you a reference of what how long what you're watching is.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really a reference. So it wasn't until, you know, the advent of DVDs, which we'll get into later, that people actually started realizing what was happening. So I think when VHS came out, people just didn't realize it as much because they didn't have a reference as to how it was supposed to be seen.
And I think part of the problem was this was directors and producers and even writers could have, none of them were stepping up to the plate saying, hey, this mm-hmm. is wrong. And I think that's a big problem. It's like, no one is stepping up to the plate saying, do not do this. You're ruining my movie by doing this.
Yeah, and, I mean, as mentioned before, Woody Allen was the first person to release a movie on a video cassette on anamorphic, keeping the anamorphic widescreen, or just widescreen in general. It was the first movie, he was the first director to keep his ratio the same throughout with home presentation. I know Orson Welles had a huge problem with it, which of course at the time nobody cared for Orson Welles when he was alive. So obviously no one paid attention to him then, but he was, like he was in his movies, he was the front runner of what is now one of the biggest concerns in the home market.
Right, and like, one of the biggest reasons is, besides the fact that when they crop something, on the general audience, they don't seem to realize that they are losing part of the movie.
Mm.
And they're actually, when they pay for a movie and it's cropped, they're paying for less of the movie at the same price. Yeah. If I walked up to someone and said, here, I'm going to sell you half of this apple for 90 cents, and you can buy a full apple for that same 90 cents, but I'm telling you now, you can only buy this half apple, you'd be pissed, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But no one seems to notice that you're losing.
No one noticed.
So here's the one of the bigger problems is, by cropping the film, they also... Not accidentally, because it is done on purpose. They change the camera movement.
Mm-hmm. It's as if someone is directing the camera movement within the frame, and that's just completely changing what the original director wanted.
Exactly, and that is something. Unfortunately, there aren't that many people like us who are watching every single frame individually and noticing how every shot has a meaning in a film.
Mm-hmm. At least it should.
It should. I mean, of course, we could spend a whole on that. But
for the sake of argument, they should.
For this, also, just a quick backstory, me and Hash get into arguments like this all the time.
Every single day.
Every day. About, you know, the merit of films. But beyond that, just, you know, and by changing the camera work, by changing the amount of cuts in a shot or a sequence, you mm-hmm. change the movie.
Entirely.
And this goes back to the fact that these directors aren't taking control. And that's why when the Soderbergh article came out, and I remember that before that article came out and I saw Ocean's 12 was playing on USA, USA was airing it in the original ratio. Yeah. And then after reading that article, I discovered that's all because of Soderbergh. Mm-hmm. Called up the director of Universal and said, you are not airing my movie in a crop. And that, again, Soderbergh is my hero.
He's a genius when it comes to that.
And so, like, unless it's an artistic choice, and Hash, I want to go jump to you for a second because you know about this more than I do. Yeah. Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. Steven Soderbergh, once again, he, when he shot The Good Shepherd, he intended it to be seen in the Academy ratio, which is the 4x3, also known as 1-3-3-1, also known as what you're looking at your TV. He meant it, he shot it with that in mind, because that's how the old noir films were shot, and that's how they were presented in the theaters. This was before the advent of widescreen. Yet, due to technical standards, there was no theater that was still holding these, that was still holding this ratio. So if he wanted it to be just anyone to see it at all, not even that it, if it was a studio's choice or something like that, if anybody wanted to see it at all, he would have had to modify the film into the, what was it, 1.85?
I actually have it up right now. It's, he had to modify it to a 16x9 or a 1.851.
Yeah, 1.851. So he shot it in a, or it was shot in 1.851, but he kept in mind that it was going to be presented in the Academy ratio. So when it was in theaters, it was in the 1.85, but when it was distributed to home video, he completely got rid of the widescreen ratio. You cannot find a DVD that has a widescreen ratio of The Good Shepherd. And it is all presented in the Academy ratio 4.3 for artistic, the Academy ratio of, yeah, it is 4.3.
Right. So of this is where I want people to take note is 4x3 is not a demon spawn, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone is trying, is saying 4x3 should be done away with. Because there are certain mediums that 4x3 news broadcasts, even though they are shying to 16x9 now. Reality shows, the way they're shot, benefit from a 4x3 ratio.
Yeah, we can make the same argument that early films, before they made the transition into widescreen, they should be kept in the full screen ratio that they're in. They should not be, instead of pan and scan with widescreens, they should not be tilt and scanned, which is the exact same thing, only they move the camera up and down rather than left and
which
right.
Which is funny, because I've seen them do that on, it's not a movie, but I remember a few years back, I was watching Universal's HD, free little HD thing they offer on some cable services, and episodes of Knight Rider were tilt and scan. and I was like, that can't be right. And I looked up, they in fact tilted. And I was like, why would you tilt that? DVDs came out, and for some reason, they continued to release DVDs in a full screen version and a widescreen version, but which I wouldn't mind because I'm getting my widescreen, but they didn't, in the first couple DVDs, they didn't make it apparent. Like, you would go into a store, pick up the DVD, and it wasn't until you got home and had it in your player that you would discover, oh, this is a 4x3, and now I'm angry. And like, you would have to search the fine print. They did, as the years went by, they got better in terms of making it clear, this is...
Yeah, they definitely have, but what just occurred to me is an even bigger problem, well, not bigger, just as big of a problem, but on a very, very different kind of way. Is that the early DVDs, when they had their widescreen, there was not this, when they had the widescreen DVD, they didn't have a widescreen television to think of. So they just kept, they presented it in widescreen, keeping in mind that it's going to be shown on a 4x3 screen.
Right.
So those were all how the early DVDs were fine. That was before the advent of widescreen TV, and that's fine. But nowadays, now that we have this, if you put any widescreen, any early DVD that has widescreen into your DVD player or Blu-ray player and play it on the on your widescreen TV, it will not be cropped. It will not be tilted or panned or scanned or anything like that. Instead, you'll get an even smaller image with bars on the left and right and the top and bottom because they were not aware that at the time that a widescreen TV would be created. So a way to fix that is to increase... to zoom in on the picture, which solves it, yet it's a two-edged sword.
It causes artifacting.
There's huge artifacting involved. So, again, we can make an argument where that's extremely distracting. They should definitely go back and try as hard as they can. I don't expect them to go through every single movie and do this. Just be reasonable, important movies, mainstream movies, movies that are meaningful, that people want. Go back, and fix the damn ratios.
Yeah, like,
what comes to me, in my mind, is
the game.
Yeah. Everybody puts in that.
For those that aren't aware, The Game is David Fincher's, I think, what was it, third film?
Yes.
Okay, it was David Fincher's third film, and Hash can explain this better than I can, because he follows David Fincher like a freaking,
David Fincher is my favorite director.
Yes. Not going to get into that. But on the game, unlike David Fincher's other DVDs, you told me, this one was produced by a different guy, right? Or...
Yes.
Okay.
With the exception of this DVD and the Alien 3 DVD, they were all the DVDs were produced and directed, the special features, that is, of course, not the actual feature, but the DVD itself was produced and directed by, I think his name was David Pryor, and that was for every single David Fincher movie, including the Criterion edition of Benjamin Button, all of them except for Alien 3 and The Game. Alien 3 has plenty of extras in it, even though David Fincher had absolutely no involvement in it, had plenty of things that people could look up, so I'm fine with that. I have a huge problem, which I'm slowly starting to just give up hope on this, more so on the presentation of it, on the game.
Right, and the game, the problem with the game is I discovered this when I got the DVD from Netflix, that first of all, it's a bare bones DVD release. So they put no effort into this DVD.
It seemed like one of the very first DVDs that ever came out.
Right, and this DVD, it's cropped, and this is a movie. This is an example where one of those movies that, yes, you have your widescreen, but what's the point? It's like I don't want to watch this movie because it's so distracting that I'm looking at a smaller screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always thinking back to, this must be part of the reason why people didn't want a 16:9 crop back in the day, or a 16:9 release.
Yeah,
it was because you have to take into account people were watching it on 13-inch television screens.
Yeah, like, and they're squinting, and of course they don't know, they're not well informed enough to know that what they would be looking at is a complete image. They think that a full screen is, the things are being filled into the top and bottom bars.
Right.
You got to think in terms of that, and
which is why
knowing that, they don't really don't see a purpose why they have to squint so hard to see such an image, because everything's being compressed. Right.
And that's why I don't fault the cropping of movies back from, say, the period of 1950 to about 1990s, basically around the time DVD came out. Up until DVD comes out, I don't blame them too much. Once DVDs started coming out, TVs were at a size of like 25 to 30 inches on a 4x3. Even if 4x3, though, it was still 30 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you pop a widescreen into, it ain't that bad. You're still getting a decent-sized image. So that's when I started, getting issues. And no one was stepping in. No one ever stepped in. You always had, like, I remember seeing a YouTube video that consisted of Michael Mann, I think Scorsese.
That's a very popular
It was Mann, Scorsese. I forgot who else was there.
There's a couple other directors in there, yeah.
And they referenced, I think it was the Ben-Hur they referenced.
They referenced Ben-Hur, which should, if anybody, for people that don't know, Ben-Hur is not shot on a 1.85 or a 2.45. It's in a much wider ratio.
It's in that 70mm frame.
Yeah,
right?
It's an extremely wide ratio, which even on widescreens would be like, say, watching a 2.45 movie
on your 4x3.
On a 4x3. That would be the equivalent of it.
Right.
And that's how it should be seen on a widescreen in this.
Right, and the problem with this, these action sequences in it that are beautifully choreographed.
Oh, beautiful.
And this goes back to what I said about the virtual camera. The virtual camera moves it around, and not only are you disrespecting the film by doing that, you are making it incoherent.
Totally. You're completely changing the narrative. Some of the deaths that happened in the Colosseum were completely cut at all, which meant that when there were these establishing shots of whether it be the chariot or the sword fights, people would be missing, and you would have no clue how they just disappeared. Where if you saw the complete film in the complete format it's supposed to be, you would see that, okay, this is how they died, this is how they are murdered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet, you don't see that in the full screen, so they just kind of disappear from the story. And that leaves a huge narrative gap.
Right. And then we also, you know, you get into this issue. So I think now, when you look at the future of this, what I'm thinking about is Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And have you seen a 4x3 Blu-ray yet, Hash?
No.
No, neither have I. And I think that's... I think we've gotten to a point where people have these widescreen TVs, and now the argument has reversed. And people...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And people don't want 4x3 anymore, because now they're getting black bars on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so now people are like, why do I have this black bar on the side, and it's pissing me off? And it's you have really people terrible. Who now they are hitting the stretch button on their televisions to make it stretch out to the sides.
Which distorts the picture even more.
Right, because you just end up distorting, you end up turning circles into ovals, and you end up turning squares into rectangles.
Ugh.
But that's more on television episodes, if that's a problem. Because movies have not been shot that way in a very, very long time. But if you're watching something like Citizen Kane or Casablanca and you do that, you again, it's another problem where you end up insulting the image, and you end up insulting the filmmaker, in essence. And it would suck. It sucked because you have these filmmakers who not only are they not stepping up to the plate, but some of them even cave in. Mm-hmm. I forget the director's name, and I'm actually going to look it up right now. But the director of The Interpreter. That was his... Hold on. Give me a second. I'm going to look this up right now.
Yes. I know what you're referring to. Yeah.
Sidney Pollack.
Yes.
Sidney Pollack before The Interpreter shot all his movies in the 1.85 ratio. Because he didn't want his movie to be cropped. His movies were getting cropped still, but not nearly as much. The Interpreter was his first film in a long time that was shot in the 2.85. Or 2.39, I'm sorry.
Okay. 2.85 would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, but it was shot in the 2.39 ratio. And, it's not the greatest movie. It's like he finally felt safe enough to... And he felt he was at a point where he could shoot this movie like that and not worry too much and have confidence people would see the film the way it was meant to be seen. But what pissed me about that when I saw that video was he actually not only... didn't step up to the plate of saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong, but he actually caved and changed the way he makes films and changed his way of filmmaking to appease a very poor system.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me sad. And
yeah, he shot, I remember him saying that he shot everything looking only through the 4x3 box that's on the anamorphic television presentation. When you're filming a movie and you see what's going through the camera, and when you're in the director's chair and you have a TV in front of you, you have reference lines of where you might want to frame things, which include a white box that is 4x3, and another reference box which is the format in which you're going to present it for, and it's shot so that you have more of a leeway. So that you know how close to put mic things in relation to the camera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what that's for. And, of course, these don't show up in the motion picture itself. It's just for reference for the director. What he did is he actually specifically shot things for that box.
And that's the that, to me, feels, as much as all this is an insult in terms of cropping, that feels like the biggest smack in the face to anyone that truly loves films. Because you're appeasing a system that is ruining you.
What you're saying is that you're not caring what's in the frame, in the cinema. What people are going to see in the cinema, you don't care what they're going to see.
You care how people are going to see it. You're not giving people
a cinematic experience. You're not giving, you know, film patrons. You're not caring enough about the image that's going to be shown. Right. And sure, you can say, like, well, I did this shot and I did this shot, which uses everything and, you know, whatever. You shot, if you at any point think to yourself, who is this going to look on a TV? You're not making a movie. You're not making something for film. You're making something for television.
Right. And that's a very big problem. And that's one that I feel is being, now, today, is being corrected. And this is, again, Steven Soderbergh is my hero. I've spoken to other people, like, he's everyone's hero now, because he is one of the first mainstream directors in a forum that everyone reads to speak out against this idea of cropping, which is why I think he and other people should be happy, at least with the advent of Blu-ray. Blu-ray isn't being cropped anymore, and because people have widescreen TVs, and a generation is now coming in with the knowledge of the reason you're cropping on a 16:9 still, thankfully, is it's not big enough.
Thankfully, so, there's this new generation that understands
the essence of cropping, mm-hmm. And how it sucks. And so you have this generation coming in, and then, you know, so Blu-rays now, there's no more full screen Blu-ray DVD releases. They're gone. The last film, I think I read, the last film to be released in a 4:3. It was. I can't remember if this was either the last film we released in VHS or the last film in a 4:3. But it was Crash. Crash was either the last released in VHS or 4:3. And then
I think the last movie to be released on VHS was A Brief History of Violence.
A History of Violence. That's it.
A History of Violence.
That was the last VHS. Which means Crash is the last 4:3 release in terms of DVD home market, which is, thank God, you know.
No, they still release movies in full screen on DVD.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe my facts are wrong, but I remember Crash was the last something. Crash was the last Academy Award winner.
Yes.
To be released in a 4:3. That I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like, it's just something like for an organization that has so much power, like the Academy, that the Academy hasn't stepped up and said, why are you doing this? That, like, the MPAA, who considers to have so much control over everything, hasn't stepped in on something like this.
Honestly, I think the Academy, the FCC, and the MPAA are in their own league. You know, we can go on for hours and hours and hours on how they're not helping
anything.
I think that's for a later topic.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I agree with what you're saying. These people who self-proclaim themselves as being for the artists, for helping them, they're not doing jack crap.
Right.
They're not doing anything to help us.
Yeah, that's a big problem. It's like, luckily, first of all, we talked about how Blu-rays are, you know, they're no longer being released in full screens, which, again, thank God.
Thank God.
Another one that is another one that's really going to make, it's going to help, but it's also going to hurt. Panasonic has released a brand new television. It's, first of all,
it's beta.
Let's preface
it's,
it.
It's right. Not released yet.
But no, but it's in the test phases. And
it's in the test phases.
There is some, you can go online, Google it, I forget what it's called.
Strong possibilities of it being
And this television is in a 2.35 ratio. Mm-hmm. Or 2.39. I keep getting it wrong. It's in a 2.39 ratio.
I think it's 2.45.
Is it 2.45? I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I'm seeing 2.39.
Okay.
But in any case, this television is in 2.39.
Yes.
Which means that if you pop any movie shot basically today, because it's very, you don't, not a lot, only comedies pretty much are shot in 16:9.
No, I wouldn't agree. That's
true. There are select examples, but for the most part, you see movies shot in the 2.35.
Yeah.
Or 3.9. You see them shot in 2. So this television is 2.39, which means no black bars on top and bottom ever. What's going to stink is now you're back to the new issue, which is you got bars in the left and right now. So the question is, which is more distracting? Having them on the top and bottom, versus having them on the left or right.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. See, with, I think as awestruck as I was when I first saw this 2.39 TV, when I thought about it, you put a 1.85 or 1.88 movie in it, you're going to have black bars on the side. You put in a movie that was shot in
4x3.
In 4x3, 1.33, and a Academy ratio, you're going to have even more black bars. I think that the best way to watch a movie on a screen, on a home screen, without it being an actual film projector, would be if this television box was kept at a 16:9 ratio. Because then you have enough where you'll have minimal black bars on the top and bottom of a 2.49 with a 16:9 movie. You won't have to worry at all. And with any old school movies that you want to put in, yes, you'll have more black bars on the left and right, but there are more movies shot in widescreen now than there are shot in the box presentation. So I think they should just leave it at the 16:9.
Right, and just deal with bars on top and bottom, which today, you know, aren't that distracting. I mean, we've gotten to a point where we have TVs that are 52 inches, 72 inches. They're so massive that they pretty much engulf your peripheral way before you get to the fact that the top and bottom have little black bars on them.
Yeah, I feel like it's a black hole just sucking me in.
Okay, so the last thing I want to discuss is now, besides Stoltenberg has started something.
Yes, he has.
Because more and more directors, one I can think specifically is Michael Mann, but a lot of them, they're stepping up now, and they're saying, get your hands off my film. Leave it alone. Don't send this technician in to ruin my movie, which is good. And also you have television companies adapting where they're now, at least in their HD channels, are airing films in the original ratio. I saw this, FX did this on Fantastic Four when I saw it. Spike TV does it for all the Star Wars films.
Yeah, yes, I noticed that. Kudos to them.
Kudos to Spike for that one. So TV companies are adapting because they're realizing you can't get away with cropping anymore. At least not a major crop. And I truly believe within the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see completely do away with cropping.
I would love to think that. I would love to.
You said that very carefully. You said you would love to think that.
I would love to think that. Personally, there will always be... I think there will always be a market for crop films. There will always be some people in the world that would rather prefer having a full screen as opposed to the complete image. That's just how they are. That's a market. It's going to be there. Unless you're able to get rid of all those people and change all their minds, I don't think there will ever be.
I want to bring it into a story. This is back when Suncoast was still around, and and this is right when Titanic had come out on home media. And so you had the VHS and you had DVD, and he heard the clerks talking about the fact that Titanic was cropped, and one of the guys says, "You don't miss what you don't see." That is pretty much the mindset of the general viewing public. They do not miss what they do not see. And it's the general public that needs to step up and say, there is stuff missing. Fix this problem.
They just need to be better informed.
Right. And there's so many other issues that are out there where it's the public not being informed of why this is the way it is. When you think about issues like that in terms of the movie business, this is the issue.
Yeah.
That
home video.
And it's an issue that could be fixed so easily if people were just aware of the fact that they're paying money. The second you were to approach someone and bring in the fact that they are paying money for less of a movie, And if you worded it in those terms, I guarantee you the next day, no, like you would see a boycott. I would guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to close this out. This is the first episode of TFS Spotlight. We hope to bring you more discussions like this.
Yep.
Now I know this particular one was a bit slow moving. We hope to rectify that in the future as we progress with this show.
Yeah, this will probably be one of the few episodes where we actually agree on something.
Right, because I guarantee you now, the discussions we have off the mic usually end in personal insults and demon spawns.
Oh, just wait until the public hears those.
So first, let me end this by saying you can subscribe to this podcast feed via iTunes, which we'll be setting up as soon as this recording is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Also via any RSS reader. You can find new episodes on Merylbar.com. I also recommend you check out thefilmstage.com and follow our head writer Jordan Raub at twitter.com/thefilmstage, where he will always be posting the updates, and you can find the standard TFS podcast up there, which Del will start to be updating very soon. So before it closes out, Hash, where can people find more of what you do online?
Try Googling my name, see if anything comes up. If not, then
that's it. You can also find Hash on thefilmstage.com writing periodically about David Fincher and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much. Hey, I'm actually planning on getting more writing down as soon as all these finals get done.
That's right. That's good to hear. And you can find me at merylbar.com, where I'm sure you found this podcast, twitter.com/sonic43, and you can find me on thefilmstage.com. And that's about it. I want to thank you for joining us on this debut episode of TFS Spotlight. On behalf of myself, Hash Aguirre, and I'm sure the TFS crew who are out enjoying the last bit of their Thanksgiving, have a good night.